Music has a special way of touching our hearts in ways many things cannot. And if you're tuning into this podcast, you probably think so too. On each episode of Classical Post, we uncover a creative mind behind music we find particularly exceptional. Coming to you from New York, Classical Post is created and produced by Gold Sound Media, a marketing and PR agency for the performing arts industry. I'm your host, Jonathan Eifert, creative director at Gold Sound Media, and I hope you find something inspiring in this episode. For conductor and baritone Malcolm J. Merriweather, artistic inspiration has largely sprung from asking questions related to his identity. What role does his work as a Black musician play within the larger tapestry of music history? Who are the artists of the past who contributed to the legacy he's inherited today? As director of the New York Philharmonic Chorus and music director of the Dessauff Choirs, Merriweather spends his days bringing to life great choral works from the Renaissance through the 21st century. But two composers who happen to live 400 years apart have proved his primary focus over the past several years: Margaret Bonds, a contributor to the Harlem Renaissance, and Vicente Lusitano, an Afro-Portuguese musician who's considered the first published Black composer. Merriweather has led the Dessauff Choirs in performances of both composers' music, oftentimes programming their work alongside that of their contemporaries, which, in the case of Lusitano, includes Thomas Tallis, William Byrd, and Giovanni Palestrina, who also happens to be an important figure in the ensemble's early history. In this episode, Merriweather and I talk more about his relationship to Margaret Bonds' music and how his critically acclaimed recordings of her songs led him to London to hear Lusitano's works for the first time. Plus, he shares how the act of baking nourishes his mind and body, why he has to make his bed first thing in the morning, and his favorite restaurant in Harlem for American Senegalese fusion cuisine.
I'm Malcolm J. Merriweather, and I am a conductor and a singer and a professor based in Harlem, New York.
Let's talk about aesthetics outside of music. Where do you find inspiration to create music?
I found inspiration to create music through my own identity. Over the past several years, a lot of my research and scholarship has been surrounding Black classical musicians. And I have performed and recorded a lot of music by specifically 20th century female composers who are Black, notably Margaret Bonds, who the Dessauff Choirs, where I'm music director, we've championed her choral music.
Do you want to explain a little bit more about that? I am curious if you can elaborate more on that.
Absolutely. So Margaret Bonds was a composer and pianist. She was born in 1913 in Chicago. And after attending Northwestern University, moved to New York City, where she was best friends. She became best friends with some of the leaders of the Harlem Renaissance, like Langston Hughes. And they also became, they began collaborating. So Langston Hughes would write poetry and libretti for Margaret Bonds, and she would set it to music. And the result was three cantatas that I have performed and subsequently recorded in New York City with the Dessauff Choirs. The first cantata is entitled The Ballad of the Brown King. The second cantata is entitled Simon Bore the Cross. And then the third cantata is Credo. And each cantata is music with a mission, meaning there's a social justice narrative to each of these pieces, which aims to uplift Black people in this country and portray Black people as kings and queens in the Ballad of the Brown King and Simon Bore the Cross. And in Credo, that text is by W.E.B. Du Bois. This text really promotes racial unity and cooperation in this country. So very, very important pieces in the choral repertory.
If we could backtrack a little bit and go back to aesthetics in terms of various fields of study outside of music, art, design, architecture, fashion, film, those sorts of creative industries, Are there any of those that you really draw from when you are doing your research, when you're creating music, when you're conducting, when you're singing, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I really think that all of these mediums are linked in performance. So when I'm thinking about a performance, I'm always thinking about the venue and the architecture of the venue, the aesthetic, whether it's a church, whether it's a concert hall, because that plays into the acoustic and essentially how the music will sound and read when played in the physical space to the audience. So once we're in the architectural and performance space, of course, there's the element of designing, if it's a flexible space, how the audience will be seated, how the lighting will come into play. Recently, the Dessoff choirs and other choirs that I've conducted have incorporated other artistic elements like including multimedia elements to the performance. For example, I conducted a performance of Considering Matthew Shepard, which is an oratorio about the life, murder, and response to the murder of the young gay man, Matthew Shepard, who was murdered in 1998. And in this performance, projections and were created by Elliot Forrest, and they were projected during the concert so the audience could have a visual component to interact with while we were performing.
It's a really great work. I'm familiar with it. I've never seen it live, but I definitely have poked around online and read about it and such when it had come out. So yeah, it's really, it's amazing.
Well, if you're interested in watching that performance, it's available on the website of Trinity Wall Street, available on demand. And you can see all of the projections and also how, I would like to further elaborate on your question. When I'm thinking about an architectural space, I'm also thinking about how we can use the space as singers and musicians. I'm really interested in multidimensionalism, where singers are surrounding the audience and not just sort of standing up stationary and singing, but there's also an element of movement, not quite to the level of what you might see in an opera, but similar to that.
Describe a routine you have in place that helps you live a healthier life.
As soon as I wake up, I make up my bed. I think that's very important in my routine, because when I come back to my bed, it is a neat, safe place. And then I immediately go to the gym at least 4 times a week. I'm really lucky to have a gym in my building here. And I feel that fitness is a really important element for my lifestyle, where I am doing multiple rehearsals, traveling a lot. It's also just a great way to clear my mind at the beginning of the day. And I like to go in the morning, because it's a feeling of accomplishment. If I haven't done anything else, I will have gone to the gym. I think it's important to also protect your schedule and make sure that enough sleep is built into that schedule, enough time to recharge. So that's easier said than done in a city like New York City, where you have to factor in travel time and there's always something that comes up. But I would say those are, they seem pretty basic, but they can easily sort of escape a routine once you're in the thick of a performance year.
If you can point to something that provides energy specifically, so not just a routine, you know, for wellness, but energy, is there anything that comes to mind?
Recharging with friends and family and, you know, stepping away from the hustle and bustle of, you know, rehearsing and performing. I also love to cook. I not only is it nourishing for my body, but it is nourishing for the mind to just sift the flour. I particularly like to bake cakes and measure the sugar and, you know, weigh each layer of a layer cake and just making sure that the outcome is is a beautiful four-layer red velvet cake. So I feel really energized after baking or cooking or preparing a meal.
I love that. Is red velvet your favorite one to cook or to bake?
It is. And my red velvet cake is world famous. I made it for my choirs and they love it. It's really good. If I will say so myself.
What kind of icing is it? Is it like the buttercream or kind of cream cheese icing or what is it?
Cream cheese all the way.
What is one specific product you highly recommend?
Well, my dear friend Naja Hall of Naja Hall Beauty just started a beauty line, and her turmeric mask is incredible. Not only is it refreshing for the skin, but it clears up any sign of fatigue or any blemishes or anything like that really quickly, which is really important if you're a performer to just have really clear skin. So I highly recommend Naja Hall Beauty.
What restaurant or bar do you love to eat at when you're in New York City?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's so many to choose from in this city. I really love going to a bistro called Ponte Bistro, which is located in Harlem around the corner from where I live. And what I love about this restaurant is it's a fusion of American food, but also Senegalese food. And there's something about going into sort of a neighborhood establishment where you know the chef and you know the bartender and they greet you and they can, you know, just call out what you're going to have to drink or, you know what you're going to order. And then they also have live music. So it's just such a warm and homey place.
Let's pause for a second. Are you an artist or work at an arts organization? I founded Gold Sound Media to help you expand your audience through social media. My team and I work closely with clients around the United States, directly shaping their messaging through customized strategic content. One of our biggest success stories is our work for the Clyburn, where we drove 25 million viewers, making it one of the most watched classical music events of all time. Get in touch to speak with me directly about how Gold Sound Media can help you. Just head to goldsoundmedia.com. Now, back to the show. Tell us about the recent concert premiere featuring music by the first known published Black composer.
Vicente Lusitano is the first Black composer that is known to have music printed, an Afro-Portuguese composer, not just a composer, but a Renaissance man traveling to Italy, traveling, living in Portugal, seeking patronage from sort of rich families. He was also a poet and a music theorist, and it is notable to have access to his music and perform his music because of just the singular notion that only Europeans and people of fair skin were creating polyphonic music during this time in the 16th century. So Lusitano is a contemporary of Thomas Tallis, of William Byrd, of Palestrina, and recently the Dessau choirs we've performed Lusitano's music alongside these contemporary composers, and it is amazing to see his own sort of Afro-Portuguese flair and the cadences that he uses, but the music is just exquisite. And all of this music during this time is deeply connected to the region. I mean, you have the English style, you have the Italian style, and you really hear a very distinct Afro-Portuguese style in Vicente Lusitano's music.
So the premiere happened with your choir, right? The Adesov Choir, is that correct?
The Adesov Choir has performed what we believe to be the North American premieres of three of his motets. Over the past 2 years, there's been a lot of interest in Black composers, but notably Vicente Lusitano, because of when he began composing. We believe that these performances were the North American premieres of these pieces.
Got it. North American premiere. And then in terms of the research that led into this, were you involved in trying to discover this or bring this to life in, you know, outside of just giving the premiere, the actual kind of resurrection of this music? You know, were you involved in that?
In a performance aspect, I was. And it's actually my connection to Lusitano's music is directly related to my research and scholarship on Margaret Bonds, which I spoke about earlier. My recordings reached the United Kingdom and were played on BBC Radio. And I was contacted by a conductor and keyboardist, Joseph McCarty, who has done the same sort of research and editing that I've done on Margaret Bonds for Lusitano. He subsequently invited me to London to perform and sing this music in a small vocal ensemble, and I brought the music back to the United States.
Very cool. It's a cool thing how it works in terms of those musical experiences in different parts of the world, right? And then you can kind of cross-pollinate, if you will, you know? But it's amazing. Now, do you have some sort of plans to do more of this or to kind of bring other kind of works that are not really, you know, widely known at all to concert stages in New York, or what does that look like for you?
Absolutely. It is part of the Adesov Choir's mission to bring underperformed and underrepresented music and composers to the concert stage. And that has been part of our mission since our founding in 1924 by Margarete Adesov, who was a German Jewish immigrant. At that time, she, in 1924, was bringing the music of Palestrina to this country, which had never really been heard, which is very interesting. So we will continue that. We will continue to sing the music of Margaret Bonds and other Black female contemporaries of the mid-20th century, including Valerie Capers and some other composers that I won't dive into because I don't want anyone to steal my ideas.
Fair enough. In terms of, last question actually for you, success, what does that mean to you? It's personal for everyone. What does that look like for you?
Success for me is finding joy and happiness in what you're doing. And that could not have been emphasized more during and following the pandemic and the shutdown here in New York City and throughout the world. It really made me look into what it is that I do as a conductor and a musician when it was suddenly taken away from me. We had to, you know, do projects via the internet and live performances were shut down for nearly a year. When we were able to gather back together, it was all about finding the joy in singing and making music, even if we had to do the testing or if we had to wear masks and, you know, all of the other baggage that has come along with the pandemic. It's finding that joy and happiness and finding meaning in what we do. And in a piece like Considering Matthew Shepard, that is very, you know, at our fingertips. It's very apparent. But in a piece that was written, you know, 400 years ago, sometimes we have to dig a little bit deeper and find that meaning and ultimately share it with our audiences.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Post. If you loved it, give us a 5-star review as it helps us reach more people. Also, remember to hit that follow button in your podcast app to get notified of new episodes.